You're listening to IsraelScene.com. I'm Steve.
And this is Yoram.
After one false start, we'll...
going to try it again.
Little do you know out there.
Ratchet up the enthusiasm.
So anyway, we have a very big week ahead of us. Yom HaZikaron, Remembrance Day of the soldiers that have fallen in all the wars in Israel. And Yom HaTzmaut, the Independence Day, which is always a great, great day. Everybody's out there barbecuing and having a great time.
Which brings to mind, to my mind at least, one of the things that I've been experiencing emotionally and intellectually, the Jewish time, Israeli time, and what it means to live in a Jewish state. One of the reasons that there needs to be a Jewish state in order for there to be this expression of a unique cultural expression. And one of the time frame elements here in the Jewish world, in Israel, and that can be and is expressed in Israel, I find twice in the year, in the spring and in the fall. In the spring, it seems to begin with Purim, which is a kind of a happy-go-lucky ding-dong holiday. One of the requirements to celebrate Purim has to do with getting drunk, to the degree that you can't tell the good guys from the bad guys, which always makes me think that that's our one Buddhist holiday of the year. And that leads us into a period of intense cleaning and shopping, bringing us to Erev Pesach, where after this intense cleaning, and I mean people here take this cleaning very seriously, one of the traditional kind of statements about somebody is how they clean between the tiles in the bathroom and on the floors with toothbrushes in order to make sure that all the chametz and that it's cleaner than clean.
I think it's just a good con job to once a year just clean out all the dust. You know how we have so much dust here and sand because, at least in Tel Aviv, we live on sand dunes.
And sell a lot of cleaning products.
Although I don't take advantage of that. And at the same time, it's really great because for at least one day after I got on my hands and knees and cleaned the place.
It was clean.
I actually was involved in this cleaning process. It was clean, smelled great, and lasted for about 24 hours.
And that night you get to, you're required actually to sit back like a king and to enjoy a conversation, to enjoy a little wine.
A little story.
A couple of stories, sing some songs, have a fine dinner, have a dessert, a special dessert. And then we have another 7 days of Chol HaMoed, of the intermediate days, days in which even the most intense workaholic has a hard time getting anything done because government offices are by and large closed, because people, if they work, they work maybe a half a day, because a lot of people just take the whole week off. So it's really a challenge to the workaholic, of which Israelis tend to be, because you can't. It's like, first you have Lifnei HaChagim, which means before the holidays, where people are very busy preparing. And then after the holiday, you have another period where people are sort of not quite available to engage in business and to be busy with commercial enterprises and events. And then we have a few days, and then we have Yom HaZikaron LaShoah, the Holocaust Memorial Day, which is a very heavy day. One of the things is that all the radio programs play rather melancholy music, and there's a melancholy feeling that engulfs the country for 24 hours. And again, being in Jewish time, it begins in the evening and runs into the next day.
At 10 o'clock in the morning, a siren goes off nationally. Wanted to take pictures in order to put it on the website, but I felt almost that I was violating the intimacy of the experience to do it, and I couldn't do it again. I tried last year, too. It's just that you stand there, and the siren rings, and everybody stops. The cars stop on the highways and on the streets. People get out of their car and stand alongside the car silently. So the whole entire nation is, at that moment, totally tuned in to that experience. Even now, I just get goosebumps thinking about that experience. It's so profound. And then after, of course, all hell breaks loose on the streets. Move that car! Get out of the way!
I had a really unique experience around that this last few days ago. My wife and I have been planning a trip, and I called my travel agent. And just as she picked up the phone, and she said, Sfira, which means siren. And in my house, and the door's closed because I don't live in the city, I didn't hear the siren. And I said, what? And she said, Sfira. And then I could hear on the phone, where she was, the siren running. So I went to my door and opened the door, and I could hear the siren on the moshav. And then we, the two of us, you know, were on the phone for like a minute or more without saying anything, observing the moment. And then we went back to the conversation of, you know, tickets and airlines and schedules and so on and so forth. It was the first of that one has happened to me. But that's another element in this unusual experience of Jewish time. And it's coming up again because we have now at the end of the week the Memorial Day for the fallen soldiers of Israel in the various wars to ensure our existence, to save us from those who would indeed do us harm. And then 24 hours later, the whole thing flips over again. And in the evening, all of these things begin by Yehi Boker in the evening, and then it becomes like Shabbat. We're quite used to that. And then we'll have Yom Ha'atzmaut, Independence Day, and this is another unique week in the calendar. Not so much, or not only of the Jewish people, but particularly of what we call Am Sheyoshev Ba'aretz, the people who live in the country. And it's one of the things that having our own country gives us the ability to experience and to create and to have and to be different. Necessarily, not necessarily the same, but with a uniqueness that is ours and that we're entitled to. And then comes the fall, and then we have another couple of weeks, and then we have Lag BaOmer, where we have bonfires at night outside, and the kids go crazy again, and marshmallows and all night around the bonfire. Where I live in Jerusalem on the hill up there, I can see the fires all around. And we have a huge fire. I collect all the clippings from the trees and the brush that I, through the year, and pile it, and the schach from Sukkot, and it's all
roof,
in a big
all
pile.
Roof covering.
Right, from Sukkot, and it's all in a big pile in the middle of my, by my house. And Lag BaOmer, we set it off, and it throws flames, you know, many feet in the air, and we're sitting on the top of this hill, so we are a beacon of sorts for people around. And if you drive into town from where I live, or if you drive, I guess if you live in town and drive around town, you'll see all sorts of little corners where empty lots and stuff, where people, mostly young people, kids have, you know, been gathering wood and pallets and all kinds of stuff and are having flames. And in the Haredi neighborhoods, you have big fires and big constructions of wood that the kids spend weeks preparing, and then they light that off. And then we have Shavuot, the holiday of Shavuot, which is also a pilgrimage holiday, which means that the Kohanim, there's a priestly blessing.
Which is really an amazing experience.
It is so primitive.
And it's very, it really is primitive.
It reminds me of the Kachinas in the among the Hopis. It's like, it's just very primitive. It's really a throwback, back, way back. It I find it very moving. And we have that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the Bet Knesset, which I also always find to be a very moving and unique experience. And then comes the long summer months, the dog days of summer, and then we begin another special period.
Well, there is a Tish B'Av in there, isn't there?
There is a Tish B'Av.
We don't. It's kind of a. It's a very somber time. Essentially, we're mourning the destruction of the temple, and it's kind of expanded somewhat into becoming aware of all of the trials and tribulations that the Jewish people have had over the millennium.
And again, one of the unique things that we have during these special days, the 3 days, the Yom HaZikaron LaShoah, the Remembrance Day for the Holocaust, the Remembrance Day for the fallen of the State of Israel, and Tisha B'Av, is that the media in this country, all the media, contribute to there being a very somber and a very concentrated kind of consciousness everywhere here. And the only music that's played on the radio is melancholy music and sort of sad love songs, perhaps. And there's no rock and roll, and there's no, you know, there's no fun stuff. There's like these three 24-hour periods in which the whole country takes on a feeling of melancholy and sadness for the trials and tribulations. But there are a lot of people here who can't stand it and who run away and go away.
It's very powerful. It's a very difficult time. You really have to work at opening yourself up to the moment and to experiencing the tragedies that have befallen us and being willing to accept them in terms of the learning experience for us as a foundation of strength from which we can grow, and also the sensitivity that we should have to others who are also suffering in the world, and not to be so cold and callous that we forget.
And maybe that's one of the reasons that we haven't spent a lot of time on feelings of revenge, and that the choice was made on some level after the experience of the Holocaust, that rather than spending our energy and our focus on revenge and on getting even and on making up for, somebody decided that would be much more worthwhile to spend our energies on creating a country, on being creative, and on being contributive to the human experience. And that's what we did, and I think there's plenty there to be proud of.
And I think that's what kind of bothers me most of all with the Palestinians, too, is every time do something in order to cut off terrorism or terrorists, the first thing they say, we're doing it out of revenge. And I'm saying, my God, it's almost that they speak about themselves. And it's more telling by what they say about us, which really, as usual, implies how they're feeling about themselves and how they see themselves in relationship to us.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention was the fall cycle, which begins a little before Rosh Hashanah, in order to prepare oneself for Rosh Hashanah. Then you have the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Then you have a pause. Then you have Yom Kippur, which is obviously very powerful. Another pause, and then Sukkot. And then you have the 7 days of Sukkot, which again are difficult days in order to get something done because offices are closed.
Vacation
time. People
aren't
around, and you know, everybody's feeling like it's a vacation. And then that comes to its, I used to call it punctuation of Simchat Torah, and then we fall into the winter months, and of course we have Hanukkah that gives us a little light, and the cycle of the Jewish year continues year after year, and it really is only in a place like this, in our own country, that it can be experienced to the fullest. Whether you live in Tel Aviv or you live in Mea Shearim, it's still those times, you know, even if you don't like it, even if you don't want to eat matzah, you're dying for a pizza and a beer, which, I don't know, for some reason, 1 week a year, people cannot live without pizza and beer while they could go for months without it the rest of the time. But Dafka, that one
it's
week
true.
In the spring, everybody can only talk about pizza and beer. And there are people who leave the country to get pizza and beer. I mean,
no, we have some good pizza here.
Well, we don't have any pizza in Jerusalem during Chol HaMoed, and they even wanted to close the Arab bakeries.
I went and had pizza and beer during Chol HaMoed. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. No, just before Pesach.
And 2 minutes after.
Well, no, that's not for me. We didn't do that. But before Pesach, when you didn't want to have bread in the house, we went in and had pizza and beer.
Right.
During the week, I don't have that particular desire for pizza and beer. That's other people's trip.
Anyhow, those are some of the unique things that only in Israel, you know, remember what they had only in America, or only on Sundays, or never on Sundays. But only in Israel are those experiences available that are expressions of the Jewish sensitivity in the Jewish year, the Jewish cycle of being, lunar with a combination of solar,
right,
so that it doesn't get too out of the way with nature, and it works.
It's a nice dance.
It changes, you know, because every year the holiday moves, but it only moves a little bit, and then every so often it comes back again, and Hanukkah falls exactly on Christmas, right, and then Hanukkah is the beginning of the December, and then slowly Hanukkah comes, and then Hanukkah and Christmas are together, and then boom, it goes back again. But you more or less know that Hanukkah is a winter, the darkest time of the year holiday, when we make as much light
as
we
possible
possibly can, And Pesach, the spring, and the song of the turtle dove is heard, and the flowers are coming on, and the whole springness, and the wonder, and the
time
miracle
to exodus
spring.
Out of our houses into the beautiful
and
days.
Eat some maror.
Eat some, yes. We'll always have to eat a little bitter.
And then comes the fall, when you have another really wonderful moment of time that's different than just every day, same thing every day, week after week, month after month, which is more like the way animals live. And part of our punctuations in time is one of the elements that separates us from the animals and makes us different, is that we tell time, we mark time, we differentiate in time. And of course, every week we do that with Shabbat. And that too is a national phenomenon. I mean, in some places more, in some places less, but basically it's what we do.
And we have, actually, you know, this is really cool because we have two guests here, really wonderful friends, Michelle and Bruce Tuckman. Bruce is Senior Vice President at Smith Barney in Kingston, New York, and Michelle has a wonderful place called Uptown Cigar in Kingston, but also is a former president of the Jewish Federation in Ulster County. So you arrived yesterday?
We arrived yesterday.
And how is it being back?
It always feels like being home when I come. I fly into Tel Aviv and I just start to feel much better. And you drive and walk in the streets and it's just so Israel and it's so of my heart. It's just wonderful.
You're the only guys who don't live here full time who are Israeli.
I feel Israeli. Teary when I hear Hatikvah. And, of course, yesterday was tragic, leaving the States, and it was just the enormity of the massacre yesterday is just incredible. And whenever we are planning to come back to Israel, people say, you know, be careful, be careful. And they don't understand that I feel so safe in Israel. And yesterday was just one of those, you know, horrific events in the States. And, of course, the poignancy of the Holocaust survivor barring the door with his body and having some of his students escape and dying on Holocaust Remembrance Day is just, it's just one of those really horrific ironies.
It's really amazing.
And then arriving here and just seeing all the Israelis and everybody on the streets and hearing the languages and seeing the sights and smelling the smells is just, it does feel like home.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about before. You know, the impact it has on us who live here and then on everybody, even those who don't even realize it, the impact it has on everybody outside the country. And also the importance of Jews outside of Israel, more so now than ever before, because the balance that's really needed in those countries where there's always this pressure on Jews and also on Israel.
We have 10 friends. Well, some of them are friends and some people we don't actually even know who are coming this week.
Unbelievable.
And they are...
Some for the first time, right?
Except for a 27-year-old young woman who's been here and possibly her mother. Other than that, none of them have been here. In fact, there are two people, Chinese Americans. Actually, I think they're Chinese and with American passports. They're coming. And I don't know them, but I've been emailing with the gentleman, and I keep emailing and saying, you know, you're coming from China and the United States, because he's asking me, are we going to see most of Israel, most of the country? And just the tininess of this country is going to just flip people out. Because unless they've actually been here and have seen the minuscule size of this country, they have no real conception, and you it's hard to fathom when you come from a regular-sized country, and then, of course, the United States and China being so particularly large. And then I have other friends of ours who have never been, and their relatives, my friend's father, who was born in Germany and escaped into Shanghai, and he is turning 90, and he says he wants to see Israel before he dies. So he's coming.
What an exciting experience. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah, there's going to be people from 17 years old to 90 years old.
Fantastic.
And Jews and non-Jews and Europeans on this trip. So it's going
to
be...
I just love to kind of hang back and just watch the changes that go on in them. You're very lucky. You guys are really...
I know, and it's we're going to do the tourist thing
again. Yeah, it's great.
With them, which I haven't done in so long. So we'll go back to all the museums and it's going to be really interesting.
So, Bruce, you like walking. You like.
I'm just going to hang back. Also, she's going to be the tour guide.
Well, that's all right. But you like walking on the Tielet.
Yeah, I like walking everywhere. My first day yesterday, I got a big blister on my heel. Walking the whole beach back and forth twice. So, but it's great to be here. The flight over was crazy. It was, it was a smooth flight, but it was very interesting because there were so many religious families on the plane, which meant that everybody had between 4 and 6 kids.
Screaming.
They weren't all screaming, but it was just, there was no downtime.
Right.
All the past flights that we've ever come here at 10 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock at night, whatever it was, they dimmed the lights and everybody sort of went to sleep. And this was sort of a 10-hour nursery school because when two kids, you know, if you had 6 kids and 2 went to sleep and then 2 woke up and 2 were just getting ready to wake up. So the parents were just always walking the kids around, and there was just no downtime. It was just like the flight was like a nursery school the whole way over. So we were, you know, we took our normal sleeping pills to try to sleep on
but
the flight.
But you couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it. When we got here, all of a sudden everything kicked in. I took a walk. We came back up to the room and just zonked out. Well, after about 5 hours, you take a second one.
Of course, it's not working.
You just were awake through the first one. But thankfully, we arrived safely, and the weather is beautiful, and we have a whole list of different people to visit. Over the years, we've just accumulated more and more friends here, and it becomes, you know, well, you got to see this one, you got to see that one, you got to find time for this one, and
yep.
So we're just, you know, pretty much getting ready to run like crazy. And then, as Michelle said, we have about 10 people coming over here where she likes to play tour guide, so I'm going to let her do that. But it's, you know, it's just going to be a lot of new people and showing people around. And every opportunity we get, we try to get people to come here and see what the country's all about and just make their own judgments about it, which pretty much everybody has been happy who has come. So.
This is, first of all, the weather's great, and it's not very, very hot, so that makes it pleasant. And also, this place always seems to shatter preconceived ideas about the place, especially for people who haven't been here.
Right. People who don't know, I just recall my son first came here, which was, I don't know, 93, so 14 years ago.
Wow.
You know, his friends thought that everybody got around on camels. You know, this was high school kids at the time.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, you have that, and then somebody was saying yesterday, you know, Israel is always in the news. So people who don't have a geographical sense about them think that, well, it's a big country, there's things going on everywhere. But it's always in the news because there's always something going on here.
And it's really bizarre because even with the tragedy in Virginia Tech, Israel's in the news. And, right. And in fact, I was watching Fox News. And
right. Some were wounded.
Yeah.
And about 7 or so got out safely.
Unbelievable.
And it's, you know, it's crazy. I mean, and
then the link to Israel.
It's his instincts. You know, I mean, his instincts that helped him survive.
Yeah.
Also kicked in and
he
helped
knew exactly,
save other people.
He knew exactly
and
what to do.
Pretty amazing. One or two times before when we came here, you know, everybody when we leave my office, et cetera, say, you know, be careful and aren't you nervous?
Right.
And, you know, this time we're at the airport, you have the Virginia shooting. 2 times ago, there was a shooting right in our own area in the
right.
Hudson Valley Mall.
Right. Remember
2 times before that or 3 times before that was the Oklahoma City bombing. So it's like almost every time that we come here, some catastrophe happens somewhere else in the United States or somewhere else. But, you know, the part about Israel being so small, it's when there's a catastrophe in Israel, it's of an enormous proportion because of how small the country is. But things happen all over the place. It's not just here. I mean, people here live with it because when something happens in Israel, either it's a neighbor knows somebody or a relative knows somebody because of the close proximity of everything. But
so thank you very much. It's very exciting
you.
To have you here. We're gonna express some hope. So we're gonna express some hope with Haktikva. We're gonna go out with Haktikva. So everybody have a Shavua Tov, a great week. And this is Steve. And for Yoram, and for Michelle and Bruce, we wish you a really good week.